Good evening, everyone. Our lesson text will be taken from 1 John chapter 2, verses 15, 16, and 17. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15, 16, and 17. John talks about the world and the things that are in this world, and tonight's lesson, what I'd like for us to do is just to think about what our obligation or what we need to do as humans, as people that live in this world. What does God want from you as we live our lives in this world? What I'd like to do is start with 1 John chapter 1. John here, his letter here is to the Christians. So for those of us that have obeyed the gospel, this letter is for you. This letter is for us. What John does here in chapter 1 is he reminds us that God is love and that God is light. And in him is no darkness. Let's begin with chapter 1. Let me just get my mind too. Chapter 1, beginning with verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have no sin, that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So John reminds us, he says, God is light. He says, so if you're a godly person, if we have obeyed the gospel, then we must walk in the light, is what the message that he's giving us here. In God, there is no darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with God, guess what? We have to live a godly life. We have to walk in the light as we live our lives in this world. So John tells us that God is light, and in him is no darkness. Chapter 2. Verse 1, he says, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He says, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. Brother Phil always reminds us of this verse here. Do you love God? Keep his commandments. This is what John is telling us. And so God is light, and he wants us, as we live our lives in this world, to be examples, to walk in the light like God. Now let's go to our lesson text, chapter 2. Verse 15. So now John has told us, he says, now that you've obeyed the gospel, you need to focus on God and godly things as you live your life in this world. Now he tells us here in chapter 2 in verse 15, he says, he talks about love again. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So we see here two examples. Love God, keep his commandments. What's the other option that he's telling us not to do? Do not love what? This world, or the things that are in this world. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24 says, no man can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other. And so we cannot straddle that fence. We cannot ride the fence and say, well, I love God and I keep his commandments, but yet we have the other foot in this world, in the worldly things. Once again, what John is telling us is we need to focus on God. And so we cannot serve two masters, because we will hate the one and love the other. Now, the example that comes to my mind, it may not be the best example, a man or a woman, a young man or a young woman, if they have, let's say the young man has two girlfriends, you think he's going to love them both the same? He's going to love one more than he does the other. The woman, if she has two boyfriends, she going to love them the same? No. He's going to love one more than the other. And so this is what John is telling us. If we love God, keep his commandments. It's as easy as that. Walk in the light. And so we see here, if we continue to read in verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And so the spiritual, as we read the book of Galatians chapter 5, talks about the spiritual and the physical. Don't they clash? The spiritual is telling us, okay, I need to do good. I need to be righteous. But the other side is telling us, you know what? I'm going to stay home. I won't go to the worship this Sunday. So the physical and the spiritual are against each other. And according to John, he says that these types of affections, these types of lust, do not come from God, but are of the world. You know, I've got some working buddies, and we love to go fishing. And he tells me, he says, the only day I have off is on Sunday. He says, why don't we go to the coast early in the morning, Sunday or Saturday night? You have your church as we're fishing. He told me once, he said, you have your church while we're fishing and everything will be okay. You know, that's the flesh. That's the desires of the flesh. What do we choose? Do we choose to please the flesh or to please God spiritually? And so the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life does not come from God, but from the world. Listen to what verse 17 says. Listen to what John says in verse 17. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So all those feelings, all that pride that we had, all that lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, according to verse 17, says that it will pass away. It will no longer be. If we're out on Sundays trying to make extra money you know, work overtime. We're doing what the flesh wants and not what God wants from us. All that passes away. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. And like we said, as John is telling us here, he's talking to those that have obeyed the gospel. Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. What does verse 1 say? He said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? Of course not. He says, don't you know that when you were baptized, you died, and all those human feelings that we had are dead, and we are raised into a newness of man to serve sin no more, but to serve whom? To serve God. That's the focus that he wants us to have in this world. We need to read the whole chapter of Romans chapter 6. We don't have the time now to go through it. But that's what Romans chapter 6 is telling us, that we are dead to sin, but we are created a new man according to God, a godly man to serve God in this world. Brother Joe's, one of his thoughts is also that this world is not our home. We're just a passing through, and that's a song that we sing. And this world is not our home. That's why the focus needs to be on God and not of the things of this world. I'd like for us to see some examples. I had plenty of examples of the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh. There were so many examples in the Bible, but we can't use them all. So I just chose a couple of them, a few of them, to use tonight. Turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Solomon, as he wrote this book, he goes out and he tries everything that is in the world. He's been blessed. Physically, he's been blessed with everything. So he goes out to see what all this is about. And what Solomon concludes, he says that it is vanity of vanities. Everything that goes on in this world. I'd like for us to read Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. And this is Solomon thinking here and telling us this. He says, so I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Excuse me. Also, my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart. We see here lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He says, I didn't keep anything from my heart. I tried everything on this earth. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hand had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit under the sun. He says, everything that I've worked for, everything I labored for, everything that I saw, everything that I did is vanity of vanities. Now let's see what he has to say here in verses 17 through 19. Same chapter 2, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 17 through 19. He says, therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. So what's the Solomon's conclusion here about everything that he gained in this world? He says, the person coming behind me, he's going to enjoy everything I worked for, everything I labored for in this world. He's going to get to enjoy it. Now, if he's a wise man, he'll enjoy it wisely. But if he's a fool, he's going to squander it all. And all the work that it took you to have what you have physically. This is what Solomon is telling us. But the reason Solomon tells us that it's vanity of vanities is because it's a vanity when we are away from God or apart from God. When God is not in the picture, it's all vanity. God gives it to you to enjoy it. He blesses us so that we can help others. But he says, but it's all vanity. And this is his conclusion. The last chapter in Ecclesiastes. This is his conclusion. Chapter 12, verse 13. This is what he says. He says, after he's thought about everything that he's done, everything that he's accumulated physically, he says that it's vanity. This is what he concludes. Verse 13. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. He says, this is what we need to do as we live our lives in this world. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So what's his conclusion to living his life and everything that he accumulated in this world? Best thing for us to do is to fear God and keep his commandments as we live our lives in this world. This is why John says that the love of the world, do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If a man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Matthew chapter 6 says, where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. Luke chapter 12, verses 16 to 21, the parable of the rich man. And this is being proud. This is an example of pride. Because the rich man accumulates all these things and he says, I need to build bigger barns and I need to do this and look at everything that I've accomplished in this world. What is he told in that parable? You fool. You know, don't you know that you will die and everything that you've done, you know, doesn't do you any good. What will a man give for his soul? Are we going to be able to give our riches that we've accumulated in this world to enter into heaven with God? No. So what's the answer? What do we need to do? John chapter 17. Turn to John chapter 17. This is Jesus as he prays. He prays for his apostles, and he prays to God, and he says, verses 14 through 20. He says, I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world, even as I am not of the world. This is Jesus praying for his apostles. I say, I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. So there's no way that we can be taken out of this world because this world is evil. Does this mean that we go home and hide in the closet? No. But they were going to be sent out to preach the gospel so that they can have a salvation in Jesus Christ. And so he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither I pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through thy word. You know, his prayer that he's praying here extends to you and me, because he's talking about those that will obey the gospel. He says, so Jesus says here, they're not of this world. This is the mindset that we need to have. We are in this world, but we are not of the world. Peter talks about this, and he says that we are what? We are aliens. We are pilgrims in this world. When Scripture in the Old Testament talks about tents, that they were pitching a tent. You know what that means most of the time? That it's a temporary dwelling. It's not permanent. That's what we are in Jesus Christ. So this world is not our home. The last verses that I'd like for us to read are Colossians chapter 3. Verses 1 through 5. And he's talking once again. We see here that the Apostle Paul, he says, if you've been risen with Christ, so he's talking to Christians, to those that have obeyed the gospel. And so if you are here tonight and you have obeyed the gospel, these words are for you. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are where? Which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication. Now, this is what the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and lust of the eyes. He's giving us examples in verse 5. If we are following after fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil. It's hard for me to pronounce this word. The covetousness, which is idolatry, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. But he says, and this will be our last verse of this evening. Verse 10. You have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, I can't pronounce that one either, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved vows of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, you also do ye. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. So we see here that our bodies are against, the physical is against the spiritual. And according to the scripture that we read, if we have been baptized in Jesus Christ, that sinful man has died. And a new man created by God has resurrected. So this is why we need to walk. This is why John says that we need to, God is light, and we must walk in the light as he is. And so, as we have said, this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. If there's any need among us, we invite you to come as we stand and sing the hymn of invitation.
545, 545.